No, praise the Lord. That was beautiful. Man, it's like shouting time, right? It's interesting that God just gives us so much, so many blessings. It's amazing to me. Turn to Romans chapter 5. It's been a good morning. This already, the meeting's been good and we got a good crowd and we appreciate all those that are watching us online. If you look at Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read the first two verses of that chapter. And I'm going to focus just on that simple little phrase, peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Probably hadn't been a more impactful and important statement ever said in the history of the world. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen. I'm going to categorize my statements this morning, four different heads. First of all, there's an obstacle. There's an obstacle with peace with God. In one word, it's sin. Number two, there's an obsession. People are obsessed with finding it, and they don't even know what they're missing. They don't know that that's what they're looking for. Third, there's an objective. There's no greater treasure. There's nothing more important in life than finding peace with God. And number four, there's an obtaining. You can have it. It's been provided. It's there. And it tells you how. So let's ask the Lord to bless us. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. We know that. We cannot reach the heart of anyone that needs to hear you. But you can, Lord. Your spirit is powerful and it blows where it listeth, Lord. It goes wherever it wants. And I ask you to penetrate the hardest heart. Bring your word all the way to it. Let them understand till they've given their lives completely to you and know you as a savior. As a friend. Lord, I ask you to bless us this morning as we go through your word and try to understand your gospel. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Wow. Now, let me point out to you that the problem, the obstacle, is that there is no peace to the wicked. Isaiah 57 says, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. You want the whole thing? It says, the wicked are like the troubled sea. The wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. There is a real danger in you having absorbed the attitude that you're okay with God. Because there's an awful lot of that around. People don't realize they've never been reconciled to God. They've never come to God through what Jesus Christ did. They've never had that miraculous encounter with Jesus Christ in order to be able to say, I am now okay with God. And yet they feel like they must be okay with God because that's what the preachers are telling them. That God is your friend, that you're okay, that God's your co-pilot, that he's your mentor, he's on your side. He's giving you all things, all the blessings come from him, right? And so you can just trust him and you can just walk through your life without ever doing anything. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about it. God is good. God doesn't get angry. And they never mention hell. They never mention fury. They never mention sin. They never mention repentance. It just doesn't come up. It's unpleasant. It's unpleasant. Someone will say, well, you know, I don't want to give people more to worry about. There's plenty of negativity in the world. Why are we going to bother people? I'm telling you, you are not okay. There's a problem here. You need to be reconciled to God. It's not good enough for you to be as good as your neighbor. You're not okay because your neighbor's not okay. Don't compare yourself to that drunk on your street. Even if you were to compare yourself to the very best person on your block, that would still be a mistake. You can't measure up not even to the best person on your block, the most devout, the most religious, the most sincere. You can't compare yourself to him. You can't measure up to him, but that's not what God's going to measure you against. You see, your problem is sin. Amen. Your problem is wickedness. You say, well, I just don't feel like I'm that bad. But you're comparing yourself to other people. You're not comparing yourself to what God demands. And other people are in the same boat. And this boat is sinking. You're in a bad way and you don't even know it. And it's an evil, wicked generation of preachers that won't tell you you're in trouble. They won't tell you that hell is coming, that hell is moving, or that hell has enlarged itself to accommodate you. You don't realize how angry God is, but God said so. God said he's angry with the wicked every day. Every day. What did God say in Isaiah 13? I will punish the world for their evil. That's a promise and it's coming. I will punish the world for their evil. Now you got some problems. First of all, you've got sins committed. Let me point out to you that if you could stop sinning right now, and you can't, don't flatter yourself. Just try it. Just try. Go a week. I heard a lady one time, she said, I don't know if I heard her or read it, it was some lady that commented that she decided to go 2 weeks without complaining. And she went 2 weeks without complaining, and she loved it so much she just went the rest of her life without complaining. So I thought, you know, I'm going to try that. Don't deceive yourself. And I'm not trying to discourage you from trying it. Go ahead. Stop your lying. Stop the deceit. Stop the hypocrisy. Yeah, stop the covetousness. Yeah, why don't you try that? Stop the lust. Stop the meanness. Stop the road rage. Stop the easily offended. Stop all that stuff. Try, do your best. You'll have a better life, but don't fool yourself. Let me point out to you that if you were to stop sinning right now and never sin again the rest of your life and meet God in judgment, you would be thrown into hell because of the sins you've already committed. Not sinning anymore doesn't pay the debt that you already have. So I'm all for you stopping sinning. I think we all ought to do that. It'd be much better for all of us. And some of us have truly bettered our lives. Some of us, we used to be much worse than we are now. So I'm not knocking that. Keep doing that. But don't deceive yourself. Even if you have improved yourself from your past and you can say you're not as bad as you used to be, you've turned over a new leaf, you stopped the drinking, you stopped the cussing, you stopped the smoking, you stopped the drugs, you stopped all that stuff. That doesn't mean you're okay with God. You need to be reconciled to Him. And I don't care what the preacher says, if he hasn't pointed it out to you in the scriptures, how you get right with God and made it clear that there's something you still have to do, you've got to go to Him and you've got to sue Him, beg Him. You need to be reconciled with God, and maybe you don't even know how it could be possible. I'm telling you, don't trust what someone says. Get it out of the scriptures. Get it from the horse's mouth. Find out what God says about your situation, because you're not okay. The way you were born, you're not okay. All right, the first thing is sins committed. That's a problem. That's an obstacle. Peace with God, you've got a lot of debts. Sometimes when I get reminiscing, looking back at the stupid things I've done, I just despair. Amen. I can't undo them. Amen. Things I've done, I can't undo them. I wish I could go back and just erase them. Amen. Sometimes I ask God, oh God, don't bring that up. Please don't ever bring that up. Why? I don't want anybody to know that. I don't want people to know what I've done. But boy, what about your thoughts? You see, because you're also responsible for your thoughts. Jesus said, if you look after a woman to lust after, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. That means you got a big problem. Because we're not talking about just the stuff you foolishly did. We're talking about the stuff you thought about. Man. And you know what? The Bible demands that we bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. God's not making it easy on us. He's not fudging it. He doesn't grade on a curve. There's no mulligans for all you golf fanatics. You don't get it. You don't get a second chance. We're not Mormons. We don't get to live again and get another chance at it. No, that's not how it works. The Bible never talks about that. The Bible says you got this chance. Get it right now. And that's why he says, tell my people their sins. They need to get reconciled now. You got something to do. You got to get to God. But not only that, folks, not just your sins committed and your thoughts and desires, but you've also got a problem inside your heart. That is an inclination, a sin nature. You call it what you want. I know some people say that's just not fair. That doesn't work. It can't be true. That can't be what the Bible means. But there's not very many verses. I mean, there's not very many doctrines in Scripture clearer than this one. And that is that you have an evil nature that even if you could control it, it doesn't change what's inside you, making you inclined. I don't know why we gravitate toward filth. I don't know why we find ourselves imagining how to defraud our insurance company. Why do we do that? I don't understand it. I don't understand why we laugh at dirty jokes. Maybe you don't. But some of us know what's in us. Some of us know how deeply flawed we are. We see the character flaws all the time. And we say, how can we undo that? How can we stop that? How can you stop being who you are? And let me point out to you that how you were born is not an excuse. You say, well, I was born this way. So what? You're supposed to repress yourself. You're supposed to stop yourself. You're supposed to control yourself. That's what God says. But you can't. You say, I can't. Well, then you've got big problems. Now, I know somebody going to say, well, that's not fair. But you might ought to just grow up. Realize life is not fair. Right. Life's never been fair. God gives all kinds of good things. But he doesn't give the same thing to everybody. You can complain to God, it ain't fair. You might find out how little God cares about fair. He cares about right and justice. You can argue with God if you want. I wouldn't if I were you. It's a mistake. You've also got some other problems, folks. You are also going to be judged according to your associations. Be careful. I know we get it all the time in the courts. I work in the courts and all the time I'm watching this happen. And the kid says, well, I didn't do it. I was just there. We had the guy driving the vehicle and he said, I didn't know he was going to shoot those people inside the convenience store when he went in to rob them. But guess what? He's just as guilty of murder. Right. He went there to commit a felony. He went there. He was driving. Or one of them was just to watch. He was standing over there on the other side just watching. And they're all guilty of the same thing. Guilty of murder. That's the Texas law. Let me tell you something. God makes it real clear. He says we belong as our natural ways we are. We belong to a kingdom of darkness. It's an evil association that God sees us all together resisting his will. And you think, well, I'm not as bad as that guy, but you're all resisting his will. This is a real problem. This is the hang up. This is the snag. This is the obstacle to being at peace with God. Your sin, your consent, your peers. You have peer pressure? Are you impelled to do something or compelled to do something because of what people will think about you? Or because you don't want to buck the crowd? Or are you so strong that you just walk alone and walk away from people and lose all your friends just because you don't want to be led into something by somebody else? I don't know many people like that. They are very few and far between. I would assume you're not much like that. You like to be popular, so you go along. You just put up with it. You just say the same things. Wow. You tolerate stuff? Yeah, they tolerated Hitler, yeah. They just put up with him. Yeah, he was a little extreme, but they tolerated him. And then what? They're guilty. Yeah, they're guilty. Yeah, you follow the crowd. You're influenced by a multitude. I've watched it. I've seen it happen where a whole crowd starts doing stuff and everybody's in there doing it. Everybody. I've told the story. I went to a soccer game one time in Mexico and I sat on the cheap side, the cheap seats. And we got in there, and I'm telling you, that crowd got rowdy when their team started losing. And I thought they were going to jump enough to break the whole stadium down. And they were screaming obscenities and throwing things, and I was right there among them. I did not agree. I wanted out, but I couldn't get out. I was stuck there among them. You know what I decided after I finally got out of there? I'm never going back to the cheap seats again. You might be surprised at how God associates you with the people you hang around. Just like everybody else. You hang around a bunch of gangbangers, you know what they're going to say? He's one of them. You say, ah, they're just friends. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's exactly what they are. And you're one of them. And let me tell you, I'll point out one more thing to you. You got trouble because of who you fear. You fear somebody more than you fear God? Well, there you go. You're guilty. Because you're more afraid of what they think about you. What does it say about them Pharisees? They love the praise of men more than the praise of God? Guilty. Guilty. And you're there. You got that problem. You have an obstacle because this obstacle to peace with God is that you fear other people more than you fear God. You don't want to stand out. You don't want to buck the crowd. You don't want to walk the different way. You don't want to be ostracized or get the reproach of Christ. You don't want that. And because of that, you have a problem, a serious obstacle to achieving peace with God. God is angry with you. You say, no, it can't be. I'm one of the good guys. Mistake. Do not absorb this attitude that you're okay. There's nothing for you to do. Just trust that God's okay with you. You're going to sneak in by the skin of your teeth. And don't give me this that you just want a cabin in the corner of Glory Land because you don't want to sacrifice. You don't want to be devoted. You don't want to get out of your seat. You don't want to do anything special. You don't want to offer God anything. You don't want to worship Him if it's going to cost you. You just want to squeeze in somehow. Hide in the multitude. Just walk in the shadow of all the other people that are going to be going in. You might first of all be surprised how few people make it in. There might not be a whole lot of places for you to hide. But I warn you, you're not sneaking into heaven. You got to go in through the door. You got to go in the right way. That means you've got to have peace with God. If you haven't been paying your taxes, you got a big debt. You can't go to the IRS and say, how about we just start clean? Let's just start over right now. How about you forgive what I've done in the past? And no, they're going to say, we want to see your records. And if they think you've done something illegal, they'll go back 7 years. You're probably saying, oh, wow, I'm glad. I didn't know it was going to be only 7 years. I could probably handle that. Let me tell you, God is tougher than the IRS.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. That's the obstacle. Your obstacle is sin. You are wicked, and God considers you wicked if you have not received this peace with God through Jesus Christ. You have not gotten that thing. You have not been reconciled to God. It hasn't become part of you. Your relationship with God has not yet started. You're not okay. You need to seek God with all your heart and find peace with Him. All right. Number two is the obsession. And the obsession is everywhere. And people don't even know what they're obsessed over. But I don't know if you've seen it. I've seen it. I see it all the time. People are hungry. People are hungry for something they're not even sure what. Why do you think people go to alcohol? Why do you think people gravitate toward drugs? What are these kids wanting? Haven't you seen it? Haven't you seen these kids that are growing up in a dysfunctional family? Papa's not a good guy. Mama's working so hard she can barely ever say hi to her kids. These are latchkey kids. They come home from work. They come home from school. If they go to school, they have all kinds of problems. And they know that they're not happy. They know they're not satisfied. And so what do? They look for something. They look for friendship in gangs. Or they look for drugs. Or they get into alcohol. Or they start doing thrills. And they start stealing. They start doing all kinds of things. And they don't know what they're missing. It's nice if you grow up in a nice, wholesome family with a mom and a dad that love each other, and you have siblings that are under control, and you guys have a decent family life. That's nice. That helps. But even then, you get out there on your own, and you don't realize what's missing in your life. But I've heard them say, you know, I'm just seeking happiness. Isn't that what Thomas Jefferson said? Jefferson said, we have the natural right to the pursuit of happiness. Have you not realized that you can't find happiness until you've got peace with God? Amen. And what you're looking for, you don't even realize it. What you're looking for is to fulfill that deep longing in you to know God and to be okay with God. Amen. I know there are people who say, I don't even believe in God. Right, right. You got trained out of that. We all intuitively know that our lives are important and that there is such a thing as right and wrong and that we are going to have to give an account someday. We know that as children. Children know all about justice. They understand right and wrong. They know when they're not being treated fair. They have to be trained out of that belief. Somebody's got to talk them into not believing that anymore. Because we all know it from the time we're small. It's not even a big step of faith to know that God is going to hold you accountable. And obviously, He exists and He is right. He's going to do the right thing. And right must win. It has to win. And it's not winning in this life, so you know it. Come on. Stop deceiving yourself. You don't even realize what you're yearning for. What you're missing in your life. You think what you're missing in your life is some type of a pleasure, some type of a thrill you haven't gone through? Have you noticed they go from one to the next? I mean, we're all a little bit that way. Come on, don't just blame all of them. We're all just a little bit that way. We just get dissatisfied with this one thing. I mean, you know, we'll try driving fast, or we'll try drugs, or we'll try alcohol, or we'll try promiscuous sex, or, well, then we'll try something else. We'll try visiting places. Oh, let's go to Brazil, or let's go to South America, or we'll go to Eastern Africa, or we'll go see the Grand Canyon, or we'll do something like that. But it's never enough. You can't see enough. You can't do enough. You never fill it up. You never be satisfied. And then you get down to the end of your life, and you know you never got it. You never satisfied yourself. There's no fulfillment. There's no happiness. You ought to know it. Why do you think people distract themselves? Why do you think some people you work with live for the weekend so they can party? Why? Because there's nothing else. And they start getting bored and they start getting discouraged. They start getting depressed. Why do you think that suicide's the number one cause of death for people under 21? Why do you think that is? I'll tell you why. There's something missing. Yes. There is a spiritual void in you and you don't even realize what it is. That you have a maker and everything in your being wants to be right with Him. You want to be right with God. You want to find your place in His shadow. You want it. You want to have that eternal relationship. That's what you're looking for, but you don't have it. You don't have it. And the problem is sin. What are you going to do about your sin? How are you going to make yourself acceptable to God? Wow. You can feel it, but you don't understand what you're lacking. You can seek it. You can seek it in every possible way, and you'll go all your life going from one thing to the next, hoping that something's going to satisfy you. Some people seek it in accomplishment. They want to do something important. I'm telling you, you got politicians, they want to get something done. You got people who become policemen so they can help people. Seriously, you got people that go all over the world trying to help poor people. Yeah, or they'll do all kinds of things. You have doctors who are trying to find a cure for cancer. And they feel like if they can find the cure for cancer, they've accomplished something. But I'm telling you, that's not what you're missing. Because if you cure them from cancer, they're going to die of heart disease. And if you cure them from heart disease, they're going to die of Alzheimer's. And if you cure all those other things, they're going to walk in front of a bus. You don't have the solution, and you can't find the solution. But you do have that obsession. Some people try to find it in religion. They think if they can just be good, they try hard, and they'll go to Mass, or they'll you know, set aside some time to pray. I've had people tell me, oh yeah, I pray all the time. I pray. Yeah, but what does that do? I'm telling you, that's not going to solve your problem. Religion never saved anybody. Going to church doesn't save anybody. You've got to find your peace with God through Jesus Christ. It's a big thing. All right. And I could say many more. People get all kinds of, they get into all kinds of things trying to fill some void in their life. And it becomes an addiction and they don't know how to get out of it. They don't even know that they're trusting in it. But there's some kind of mental illness in all of us when we try to fill up that void in life with pleasures and with vices, or even with music, or even with religion. It's a mistake. It's an obsession that people have, and it's all over the world. Now, number three, the objective. Let me tell you something. If it never crossed your mind, it ought to cross your mind now. Peace with God is all you need.
That's right. Amen.
That is what you want. Peace with God solves all the other problems.
Amen.
I don't care if you're sickly and dying and all kinds of problems. Peace with God solves the problem. And that's what you've been missing all along. And if you can get peace with God, you have got it made. Because peace with God is the one treasure you need. What does God say? He says, they'll all know me. They'll know me. And you can know him.
Amen.
And you can be right with him. And if that's true, what else is there? There's nothing else. What else would you want? You get peace with God, everything else is okay. What if you get peace with God and nobody in your family likes you? It's okay, you got peace with God. I'm telling you, it's the truth. And Jesus made it clear. If you follow me, the family gets divided. Two against three, three against two, father-in-law against daughter-in-law. It happens. I've seen it happen many, many times. But it's okay if you have peace with God. You see, because peace with God is the objective of life. It is the objective. It's the treasure hunt that you've been seeking for. That's what it is you need. You need peace with God. Man, let me tell you something else. You gotta want it more than anything else. Because if you just want it as an add-on, that ain't going to work. You've got to want peace with God more than anything else. It's liable to cost you a bunch of other stuff. But you need to want it more than anything else. You need to say, peace with God is more important to me than money. More important to me than my family. More important to me than my job. More important to me than my citizenship. More important to me than my life. Peace with God. That has to be your objective in life. Otherwise, you won't get it. Yeah, you can say amen. That's the truth. You're not going to get it if you don't want it. You have to want it. It's got to be your treasure. It's got to be what you desire. Any distraction or confusion about this is liable to damn you. If you think that peace with God is just one of many things you're interested in, you're liable to lose your soul because of that. You get confused about what's important in life, you're liable to lose your soul because of that. Peace with God is the objective of life. Since the day that our forefather Adam and our foremother Eve, since the day that they sinned and set us down a careening path of destruction, ever since that day, everybody's purpose in life has been to find God and get right with Him. There's nothing else in life worth going after. Riches? Seriously? Wealth? That's what you want? Look at rich people. Are they happy? Does that solve their problems? I've never seen more dysfunctional people in my life than the richest. These people are really, riches is not the problem necessarily, but rich people do not get their problems solved by their wealth. If you win the lottery, that's not going to solve your problems. Man. You know what you need? You need forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
You need reconciliation with God. You need to know God. You need a relationship with God. That's the eternal relationship. There is no other eternal relationship, by the way. Your relationship with your wife, not eternal. It's only until death. You even said it when you got married. Your relationship with your children, not eternal. They stand on their own before God when it comes time. You won't stand for them. Your relationship, fellowship with God. How about that? Maybe that's what you've been missing all your life. Just a little fellowship with God. Did you know He wants to fellowship with you? That's an amazing thing to me. It's beyond my imagination. Why in the world would God want to have a conversation with me? But He says He does. He says, come now, let us reason together. Let us reason together. Let's talk things over. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool.
Amen.
Man. How about acceptance before God?
Amen.
Absolute acceptance.
Amen.
How about a welcome mat when you get there?
Amen.
God says, come on in.
Amen.
How about boldness to enter into the throne of grace?
Amen.
How about the ability just to walk up to God and say, oh, God, I need you. Wow. What else do you want? Seriously, what other objective is there? I want God to say, you're welcome here anytime.
Amen.
Yeah. How about a conscience purged? How about all that evil in your mind just being cleansed away? How about the promise that when you see Him, you're going to be like Him?
Amen.
Man, what else would you want? Seriously, are you thinking about Popeye's chicken right now? No! You want peace with God. That's what you want. It's not about all this other stuff. You don't want to win the lottery. You want peace with God. I'm telling you, it's true. How about your hands cleansed? How about your spirit undefiled? How about cleanliness before God? How about holiness before God? How about God putting His hand on you and saying, this one's mine.
Amen.
I confess His name before my Father which is in heaven. And nobody's going to pluck Him out of my hand. Nobody. Nor nothing. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Not life, not death, not present, not past. Nothing can separate us. What? Because of peace with God.
Amen.
That's the objective of your life. And there is nothing else. What else could you want, possibly? And if you're so foolish as to compare anything else to it and have even a momentary lapse in desiring peace with God, you are liable to damn yourself to hell just for that. Because there is nothing else more important. Anything else that you consider as important, the devil will make sure that gets right in front of your face and you'll follow it just like a sheep to the slaughter. There's nothing else. Now let's deal with the obtaining. I want you to know this is what the Bible says. This is the message of the New Testament. Peace with God is possible. Peace with God has been provided. Peace with God has been purchased. That's right. Peace with God is a done thing. There are some people who have, present tense, peace with God. Amen. Now I know religions will tell you you can't know. You can't be sure. You have to wait until the judgment, and on the judgment day he'll decide. I was talking to a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses in the airport one time, and they were telling me that. And I said, well, I got a problem with that. I took them over there to Revelation chapter 20, and I read them over there about these people 1,000 years before the judgment getting called out of their graves by name, and we're going to reign with Christ. I said, how does Jesus already know their name before the judgment? How is it that he already knows that they're saved? He says they're going to be blessed forever. This is the first resurrection. Who are these people that skip the judgment altogether and are just raised up by Christ and reign with him? And they started questioning themselves. They'd say, well, is it the 144? I don't know, man. They went back and forth, and they finally had to say, I don't know who those people are. And I was going to pick up somebody at the airport, and I said, well, I don't have time to talk right now. I said, but if I were you, I would make it your quest in life to find out who those people are and become part of them. Because those are the people that are raised up because they know Jesus. They have a relationship with Jesus. They have peace with God already, and they don't have to go through the judgment to find out. And if you wait until the judgment, you're going to find out you're a sinner and you're condemned. And you got not a leg to stand on. Every mouth will be stopped. And all the world will become guilty before God. The small and the great, the living and the dead, all of them. They're going to meet their maker that day. And that's going to be a bad day. Let me tell you something. There is a way to have peace with God. He says it's through Jesus Christ. He is the solution. Now this was a complex legal operation. You read the chapter before that, it's a chapter on what I like to say, the whole chapter is about imputation. I know Jerome, many, many years ago, he translated it into, he revised a bunch of translations and put it into Latin, and for a long time they had the Latin, and they had that word, logizomai, or something like that. It's the same word that makes our word logic, but it has to do with that imputation, and Jerome had translated it reputation, which has to do with what other people say. But imputation has to do with how God sees it. And when Erasmus realized that, and he changed it and made it imputation, it changed the world. Why? Because we're talking about a legal operation where God can justify the heathen through faith by imputing Christ's righteousness to them. This is a done deal, but you don't have to understand all the details. I think it's worth finding out. I think you ought to study Romans chapter 4. It's amazing how new versions can destroy that chapter. But I'm telling you, this is really good. This is good. Romans chapter 4 tells you that Jesus Christ paid the complete debt and offers you his righteousness instead of your sins. Amen. And what that does is that makes peace with God possible. Amen. It's an open door. And that's why Jesus says, come. Just come. Just come to me. I'll take care of it. You confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You got to think about this. He says, I will raise him up at the last day. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Wow. This complex legal operation includes justification. Find out what that means. Imputation, propitiation, redemption, and atonement. Find out what that means. Those things are important considerations because this is how God has provided peace with Him. No matter what. It doesn't matter what happens in the judgment. It doesn't matter what the devil wants to do. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. The only thing that matters is if you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a gift. God becomes your Savior. Amen. God becomes your champion. Yeah. He's the one standing up for you. God Christ becomes your hero. Yes. There ain't any other saints. Forget them. Forget Saint Nick. Waste of time. Amen. Forget Mary. Waste of time. She can't help you. If that's your hero, poor you. I feel for you. I'll tell you who the hero is. It's our Jesus Christ. Amen. Who's given us peace with God. Amen. He's our King. He's become unto us our Lord. Yes. He guides us with His eye. Wow. He's our Redeemer. He's our Mediator. Yeah. He takes our place. He's our Intercessor. He's our Priest. Amen. He makes the sacrifice to God in the tabernacle in heaven. Lord, amen. Offering His own blood. He's our Advocate. Thank you, Lord. That ain't enough. He's our Father. Yeah. Amen. He's our Friend. Is He your friend? Is He your friend? Do you belong to Him? Do you have peace with God through Jesus Christ? If you do, the Bible here says you're justified by faith. The Bible says you have access into grace. That is a big statement, folks. Access into this grace. You have strength to stand. That's what this verse says. Being justified by faith. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Firmness to stand. We have joy in the present. We now rejoice. And we have hope in the future because of the promises of God that He will raise us up at the last day. And that He has promised us eternal life. And He says, I'll prepare a place for you. And I'm going to go and I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you to myself. That wherever I am, there ye may be also. Amen. That's what He says. And then we have the glory of God. Woo! Glory. Amen. Not just glory, but the glory of God. Amen. And it's ours. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where you stand. I don't know what your position is, but I know that there's been a lot of lying going on in our modern generation where people say you're okay. Just believe in God and you're okay. No. You need to turn yourself over to Jesus Christ and get that absolute wonderful legal operation that changes you from a child of the devil to a child of God. You get that done in your heart. It's a miraculous move in your heart by God. And once you have that done, you have peace with Him forever. And all of these things become gifts. It's just given to you as part of the package. And then all you have to do from then on is just thank God for what He's done for you. Amen. You can spend the rest of your life just thanking God. Amen. We have peace with God. If you're not saved, if you have not given your life to God, there's something for you to do. You got to do it. Jesus is a person. He's got to be talked to. You got to speak to Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what He says. You got to call upon Him. You got to talk to Him. You got to say, Lord Jesus, You said it. I want it. You can even take your finger and point there and say, God, You said this. Because God honors His word. And if you're trusting in His word, that's the faith that justifies you. That's what He says. But you're not okay until you've done that. until you've spoken to Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, I need you, and you're all I want. That's all I claim. That's all I need. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want that relationship with Him. I want to be saved. I want eternal life. I want the Holy Spirit. I want the promises of God. I want it. Tell Him that. And if you tell Him that, believing His word, serious about giving the rest of your life to Him, He will come to you. He will enter in and abide with you, and He will give you peace with God, make you accepted in the Beloved, and you will be forever His. Amen. That's salvation offered. You can obtain it. We're going to stand. We're going to sing number 125. If you've got something you want to get right, this altar's open. You're welcome to come forward and pray and get right with God. If you want to know more about this, you can talk to me, and I will be glad to show you these scriptures that I have been quoting. We're going to sing number 125. We'll sing it all the way through. Talk to God if you need to.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe.
Has He paid your debt? Have you given your life to Him? Don't put it off.
Lord, now